This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Hello, everyone. Nice to be here. I have a really easy gadget for turning the slides forwards and backwards. That's always my biggest fear when I stand on podiums like this. I'm really pleased to be able to speak to you today about CWDC's social work programme. And what's, as it says on the tin, I'm going to talk about the national work that we're doing, and my colleague Jane is going to talk about what's happening in Sheffield. We've been working with employers now to tackle the challenges around securing a workforce that can deliver high quality social work for children and families for several years now. Since 2008, my colleague Mary Biginski spoke to you earlier on about the first of our projects, which was the remodelling pilots, and I was involved in those, and I can well remember the many hours that we spent in a cellar. It really was a cellar. It was a very nicely appointed cellar, but it was a cellar nonetheless in a local hotel because we had so many bids to read. And it's really very pleasing that things have gone full circle, and although I haven't worked on that project for a long time, I now do work back on remodelling and seeing some of the evaluations coming out of that, and it's really very it's really pleasing to be able to do that. I think it's very important that I emphasise the fact that we've worked with employers, because I'm speaking to you now about the CWDC programme, but I think it should be owned as much by the employers and the social workers and managers who've been involved in developing that as much as we do. And I hope that when the evaluations start coming through, and we begin to get those now, that we will be able to learn the lessons from the work that we've been doing, and they will be able to be passed on to future people who work in this area and to the work of the Social Work Reform Board. Because it's important to note that we predated the task force and the Reform Board, but we have been informed by and informed their work. And so all along, we've been working together. Our aim has always been to help employers tackle the difficulties that they're facing in terms of recruitment and retention of appropriately skilled, high-calibre social workers. In 2008, as many of you will remember, some of the recruitment and retention difficulties were severe, and in some areas they were more severe than others. And this is why we developed some of the programmes, the regional recruitment programmes, the one in the West Midlands and in West London, were there to help tackle very specific local issues around those. I don't know whether anybody from those pilots are here today. Don't recognise anybody. But it's very important that we try and put support where it's needed, really. And it was felt that that was a very important thing for us to do. And we begin to learn the lessons from that. We also thought that actually we need to tackle things from a variety of angles. So we have our nice little triangle there, which is trying to help employers attract high-caliber recruits and then support them, retain them. I think Mary said earlier on that it's very pleasing the high calibre of recruits that we now have into the social work profession, but the challenge is keeping them in the social work profession. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about one of the ways in which we're hoping to help keep the best of the social workers in the profession and on the front line. Central to all of this, for CWDC and I guess for all people involved in working with vulnerable children, young people and their families, is that this is about achieving better outcomes for those children. And social workers work with the most vulnerable of our children. And I think it's really important that we give them the best that we can give them. So I'm going to give you a quick run through of some of the work that we've been doing. We've developed some national activities to support local recruitment, and I think some of you, or I hope some of you, will remember the Be the Difference campaign with the bouncing ball and the whistling kettle. Now, not everybody understood those, and I was one of them. When I first saw the bouncing ball one, I wasn't really sure what was going on there. But as our comms team said to me, it's not aimed at you, Sue. And what happened was that it made people curious, and it attracted people who previously may not have thought about social work as a profession to make that first step and actually ask about what was required, what was needed, how they could go about becoming a social worker. And we received 57,000 inquiries following that campaign, many of which have been sent on to other places for them to get further help to further their desire to be a social worker, or to learn more about it, or to go filter them into other areas where they might find a better place. I think that recruitment campaign is now finished, and the people that are on the list that contacted us have not been left. They are being worked with still and will be passed on to where they need to go to. But I think what was key about that was we were trying to make social work, we were trying to raise the profile of social work in children's services to say it's a really good thing to be doing, you can make a difference to the lives of children, young people and their families. Mary's talked about the 11 pilot programmes, but I think it's really important that we, although there was some guidance about what the 11 pilots should do, we wanted them to do what was right for them in their local area, because what you have told us in all the work that we've done with employers is that there needs to be some kind of national way of helping employers and social workers, but there needs to be local flexibility about how that's applied, because things vary differently from region to region, from locality to locality. So NQSW, which is now in its third year, we developed NQSW, and those of you who've been around long enough will remember Options for Excellence. I see some nods around the room. It's quite old now, but NQSW isn't new. That was around from Options for Excellence. And we were asked by the then department, I've forgotten its title at that time, but it was now Department for Education, to develop the NQSW induction year for newly qualified social workers in children's services. And we did a lot of work with the then NQSWs, with line managers, with HEIs, with employers of all descriptions, to understand what it was like to be an NQSW. And you will not be surprised to find out that a lot of what we heard was it's actually quite difficult to be an NQSW. And I think if any of us remember back to our first year in employment, it's hard, isn't it? Because you're getting used to a workplace, you're getting used to the job, you're getting used to people not liking you often when you're going out and knocking on those doors. You're getting used to very large dogs, even worse, some of the small dogs, in my experience. Those kind of issues that are coming at you from all directions, really. And the NQSW programme was developed to try and ensure that NQSWs working in children's services in their first year were supported in terms of their workload, in terms of their supervision requirements, the complexity of the cases that they took on, and their supervision. And I think it's really important that we note that at that stage we thought we need to put in something here for supervisors of NQSWs. So we developed the supervision training, the supervision handbook. We learnt from the NQSW pilot in its first year when we were developing the early professional development programme, and we co-created that with 45 local authorities, CAFCAS and voluntary agencies. So EPD, although its focus was for social workers in their second and third year of practice, it mirrors some of the NQSW but moves on from that, accepting that people in their second and third years should be able to do things differently, be able to take on more complex cases, maybe need less supervision. And what we were told by people we were co-creating this with was that it was really important that we kept our focus on the practicalities of what people were doing. Yes, we needed to be very clear about the value base and ethics of a social work practice, but at this level, social workers need to be stretched a little bit more in terms of what they were actually doing. And there's a colleague in the audience today who helped us write the EPD outcome statements. So building a social work career pathway in some ways, and this fits very neatly with the work that the Social Work Task Force did and the Reform Board. And I think social workers are beginning to feel that they have now some direction of travel. We also have done some considerable work with support in trying to enabling frontline and team managers to support their staff, because I think they're often a neglected group. And we ask an awful lot of them. And we are, together with our colleagues in Skills for Care, developing programmes for support frontline managers. What we're doing is finding out about what's actually happening, supporting employers in continuing to do the work they're doing or developing that work, in order that we can build up a model of what's happening out there, so that if you're in a local authority that's small and rural, perhaps, you can look at what other small rural local authorities are doing in terms of supporting their frontline managers and maybe see if that's something that you want to take on board. We're also evaluating the process of that. So that's, I think that they're a very key group of people and very much recognised as such by the Social Work Task Force and the Reform Board. The advanced social work professional status is something we were asked to look at developing, and again we co-created this with our local authorities and CAFCAS and other stakeholders. And this is about what do very experienced social workers who don't want to be managers do. And I think what we were very clearly told by the people that we worked with is that we need something that recognised people's skills at this level and enabled them to be able to say, yes, I am really good at this, I am excellent at my job, and I can lead and develop others. And I think it's very key, very pertinent that if you look at the work of the Social Work Task Force Reform Board, and in the 1 year on, that the career framework is there very much enshrined in the work as we go forward. Peer support is some work that we've been doing with more senior managers, and that's about trying to support them and enable them to share the issues that are relevant to them, because I think they are or can be quite different to those of a first line or supervisory manager. And those sessions, we have the final one in February, the last one that should have been held in December, but it was snowed off. And I think it's that group of people, some of the things that they've been discussing have been really interesting. So, for instance, the implications of the Munro Review is something that some of those groups have been discussing with their peers. And I think that's very pertinent to this group of people, in that they perhaps find it difficult to access CPD that's appropriate for them. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about AWP status, because as was mentioned earlier on, losing our NDPB status means that the way in which we can talk to people about the work that we're doing is very limited. And I want to take the opportunity to just talk a little about this, because it's the new kid on the block. This is the newest part of our career framework, and I hope that people who haven't already engaged in some of our days, our pre-assessment days or the engagement days, will do so, and please look on our website for more details. But I think it was launched last year, but because it was very quiet launch, because the restrictions we're under now, and this is about people being able to demonstrate against a set of standards how they're working currently. It's about practice that they're engaged in now. It's not past, it's present practice. And I think it's very important that we learn about how these ASWPs will operate once they've gained the status. In some areas, there are already advanced social work professionals, advanced social work practitioners, senior practitioners, a whole range of practitioners. And we're not saying how they should be deployed. We're leaving that flexibility open to local authorities themselves, because that is what they said when we're co-creating this, that they wanted. I think it's important that we look, in terms of the standards, at what we were told were the important things that we should be covering. So it's about the direct work that we're doing at this level with children, young people and their families. And I shan't go through them all, but what we're looking about there is a very detailed stuff of social work practice. But it's also about leadership And it's not leadership in terms of the management of cases, it's leadership in terms of leading their profession, leading their team in the true sense of the word leadership. And it's about their own professional development and their own identity as a professional social worker. So we've tried to cover it all there. Just to finish, people will probably ask, what about the PCF? And yes, we're working with the groups developing the PCF to ensure that NQSW, EPD, ASWP, all the work that we're doing is working well with the PCF. Thank you.